And now to share her experience, strength, and hope with us, we have Amber.
Hi, I'm Amber. I'm an alcoholic. Can you guys hear me like that?
Yeah.
Yeah? Or is it better like this?
Yeah.
Better? Okay. All right. So, it's nice to be here. I feel like a performer. Okay, so my name's Amber. I'm an alcoholic. I'm very happy to be here, although just like 2 minutes before the meeting started, I started getting very nervous and very hot. Which is happening all the time now. But anyway, so my sobriety date is April 11th, 2002. My sponsor's name is Jen. I'm working steps 9 through 12. My home group is Young and Wise, and I make the sponsorship announcement there. And I thought I'd start with that because early in my sobriety, I heard somebody say that there are four questions you need to be able to answer to kind of know you're working a program, and that is, what's my sponsor's name, what step am I on, what's my home group, and what's my service commitment? So it's just kind of a quick check to make sure that I'm, you know, staying in the middle of AA. And there are a lot of other things I do also, mostly about fellowship and friends, and those are like the wonderful, wonderful parts of this program. And I'm so happy to see like so many friendly, wonderful faces here tonight. And I really feel like AA is it's the foundation of my life. It really is. And I'm so grateful for the community that I have here. And you know, I was especially thinking about that today because it was 5 years ago today that I moved to New York. I got sober in Boston, and it's amazing what I have been able to do because of AA here and how much I have been embraced by the community here and really just like showing up and putting my hand out and doing service and trying to be honest. And just like all the things I learned in AA has given me this amazing community and fellowship here, which I don't think I could do life without. So where I am today is great, you know. But a little over 11 years ago, I was hitting bottom for, I don't even know what time it was. Like, I had come into AA so many times. I had tried to stop drinking so many times. And I had just been relapsing over and over again. And I was at a place of complete despair. So alone, just so broken and alone and wanting to die and really afraid that I was going to kill myself without really wanting to, because I couldn't stop the thoughts from coming. And alcohol wasn't working anymore. I had been using it for a long time to numb my feelings, to get out of myself, to stop the incessant voice in my head telling me how awful I was and how awful everybody else was and how life meant nothing and people were just hurting each other and like it was going to be a long time maybe before I died, and that was I couldn't deal with that. Like, that was just like in my head all the time, and it wouldn't stop. And the alcohol and other things worked to calm that. And that was great until it stopped working, until I had the experience of getting drunk. I heard somebody describe it this way, being drunk from the neck down, and like just being physically intoxicated, but my mind was crystal clear. And that was scary for me because like I didn't have another way to live. That was the way I was living, you know. I started drinking, I don't remember exactly, it may be 14, like, but I remember when I was 15 was the first time I got really drunk. And it was, you know, It was absolutely amazing because I, you know, that feeling that I mentioned of being broken and alone toward the end of my drinking was a feeling that I had carried with me my whole life. And I don't know where it came from. Like, there was all sorts of crazy going on in my family that I don't even need to get into. But, like, I don't know if it was that or if it was just me feeling fundamentally different. I don't know. But that feeling that I had, I know, like, I heard other people talking about it in AA, too. So I felt like there was something wrong with me. I had a lot of trouble socially. I was depressed for as long as I could remember, you know, just like being young and just feeling despair and really not liking myself. And I got this opportunity when I was 15 to go to Argentina for 6 months, and I jumped on it. I wanted to get out of my life. I was like, this is great. I'm going to go to another country, get away from my crazy family, get away from all these kids at school that I hate. And so I went to Argentina and discovered very quickly that although the drinking age was 18, it was not enforced anywhere. So I was 15 years old, going to bars, going to discos, and just like that feeling of being different and hating myself went away when I drank. And from that first time that I got drunk, it was like I had no off switch. I would start and I would it seemed like every time I would drink until I passed out, got sick, passed out on the sidewalk outside. Like, it just never ended in a calm way, you know? Like, every single time I would take a drink and I would need to drink more. And I had no idea that that's what alcoholism was. I thought that that was the nature of alcohol, that you took a drink and it made you want to drink more. And it wasn't until reading step one with my sponsor in the big book that I learned that that only happens to alcoholics. And in fact, it says in there that if the phenomenon of craving, which is what that is, if that has happened to you one time, you're probably alcoholic. And it happened to me many, many more times than just once. So that was what my drinking was like. And, you know, I really didn't want to be an alcoholic. There's lots of alcoholism in my family, and I had been told to be careful and things like that, and I kind of recognized right away that there was something wrong with it. But for some reason, I didn't transfer that feeling to, like, other substances, you know, so that just kind of began a pattern for me of, like, doing other things every day and drinking on the weekends and just like kind of always trying to be normal with it, you know, and alongside that, just running this incredible depression, always just so depressed. And, you know, I'm trying to even remember, a series of things happened when I went away to college, and, it's just every single day. There was just not a day that I was sober or clear-headed. There was not a day. And it really ruined my relationships with people. I went to this, like, very kind of conservative, small women's college. And I set myself apart, but I just felt like I did not fit in. Like, I was not like these girls. I did not come from the background that these girls came from. I was there on a scholarship. And I just was drinking and getting high all the time. And so I ended up getting put on probation at school, where if I broke one rule, I would be kicked out. I told a lot of lies so they wouldn't kick me out in the first place because I got caught with drugs. And so I was on probation at school. I piecing the whole thing together. Anyway. I ended up, what happened was, and not to bring too much of other things into an AA meeting, but this was directly related to why I ended up in AA, is because that winter I ended up having this like really awful acid trip that I thought I was never coming back from, and I was really, really freaked out. And I went to my mom while I was just still all messed up and told her like everything that I had been doing. And so she was like, "You are going to the hospital." And so I did. And I only lasted 3 days there because I couldn't follow the rules. But while I was there, I got introduced to my first AA meeting. They, you know, just like we do, we go on commitments and go to hospitals. So a meeting came in to the hospital, and I heard the message of AA for the first time. And I left and went to an outpatient program and was all like, yeah, I'm definitely going to stay sober. This is so much better. And then I went back to school, and I started going to meetings. But then when I went back to school in Boston, I stopped going to meetings. And then, of course, like less than a month later, I picked up. And then I was like very upset that I'd ever been in AA, because then now everybody thought I had a problem, and I really didn't. And so then it was just running, you know, like I could never achieve the same level of denial that I'd had before, because I knew I belonged. I sat in meetings and I knew I belonged. I heard people talk about being an egomaniac with an inferiority complex. I was like, that's what's wrong with me. And I heard people talking about what was wrong with me. And, but you know, I didn't get a sponsor, I didn't get a home group, I didn't get a service commitment, I didn't do the steps. I just like kind of went to meetings a little bit and hung out. And like felt a lot better at first, of course. But, you know, so then it was like not really a big deal for me to relapse. And of course then I couldn't go home, so I had this whole elaborate scheme and ended up in Oklahoma for a little while. And and just like running, you know, just running. And then left. I was like, I gotta get out of here. This is my problem. I need to get sober again, and then trying to get sober again, and then still not doing anything, and relapsing, just like again and again, and making so many decisions to stop, and not being able to. And that was another thing that I learned when I was doing the steps with my sponsor, because I was really like, I didn't want to be an alcoholic, so it was really easy to tell myself I wasn't. And I was like, but how do I really know? Like, how do I know if I'm an alcoholic? I was so young, you know? I'm like, how can I stop drinking? I'm not even 21 yet. And then, you know, in the beginning of We Agnostics, there's a line that says, if when you honestly want to stop and find you cannot, or if when drinking you have little control over the amount you take, you're probably alcoholic. And that was what was happening to me. Like, I honestly wanted to stop and found that I could not. And also, and it says or. So it's if that happens or if you have little control over the amount you take. And that was also the case. Every time I drank, I got drunk. It just, like, to have one drink was, like, physically uncomfortable. So both of those things were true. It didn't say if you have a DUI, if you blacked out, if you've lost a house. It doesn't say any of that. It just says those two things, and only one has to be true. So, but of course that was all to come later. I was still not done yet. And, you know, I've lost my family. I was lying to everybody. I was lying and saying I was sober. I had a double life. I had two different sets of people in my life. And then finally I got, you know, found out on the winter break. I was home, and my parents said they were going to have me drug tested, and I came clean and was very proud of myself for being honest. You know, like, now everybody knows, like, it's okay. Like, it's all right, I'm being honest, so that's okay. And I went back to school, and I got, you know, I couldn't live there anymore. They kicked me out, and like I said, I was on scholarship, so I got to go back to school, but had, like, no plan for that summer of what I was going to do. I actually had this, like, elaborate plan where I had this waitressing job. I grew up in Cape Cod, and so I had this waitressing job there, and I was like, I got to go back there for the summer, and I'm going to live at this campground, which I had, like, kind of lived at before, and if you could stay there for free if you cleaned the bathrooms, and I was going to, like, bike to work because I didn't have a car anymore. Like, this whole scheme of, like, how I'm going to not get sober and, like, keep, like, doing this. And I ended up back in AA, but then what I did that summer was, it's so funny how, like, we get exactly what we need, because I was at school and I saw this poster that said, do you want to stay in Boston for the summer? And I was like, no, I really don't. But I looked at it anyway, and there was this job for the school to basically do, like, manual labor over the summer, paid minimum wage, but you'd get a free room. And that I would have to share with somebody else. So there were. So I ended up doing that, and there were 8 girls who did that, and 6 of them drank a lot. And I randomly got roomed with the one girl who didn't drink for religious reasons. And that would have been, like, my nightmare. But I'm skipping ahead a little bit, because at that point I was maybe, like, a month or so sober, because I had ended up going back to AA. Like I said, I did not have my family in my life. I was so alone, just so lonely. There would be days that, like, I didn't talk all day because they didn't have anybody to talk to. And I was suicidal, and I would think, like, God, it's so sad. If I killed myself, it would probably take people a while to find me because there's nobody I talk to every day. And one night alone, in my room, I said help out loud. I was just like, I was so miserable. I'd been really trying to control it too. I'd really just been trying to do it on the weekends and, like, prove to myself that I could do this. And then it was every day again, and school was really slipping away from me. That was kind of like the one thing I could always point to, like, school, like, I'm okay there, you know, like, and I couldn't do anything, and I was so miserable and really hated myself. So I said help out loud, which I recognized later as my first prayer, even though I didn't think it was that at the time, because I did not believe in God. And I, like, got an answer. I knew. I was like, you need to go back to AA. That's where you belong. Like, that's the only place you've ever belonged. And it's like, I don't know if I called, like, information or what. I got a number somehow and called Central Service in Boston, which is, like, intergroup, mm-hmm. and got directed to a meeting, and that meeting didn't really talk to anybody, but the next night, I went to a young people's meeting, and I was so scared. I walked into this room, and there were all these, like, kids my age reading this book, and I'm like, what is this? And the best thing I ever did was, when they asked if anybody was new, I raised my hand, even though I didn't want to. And I was just, like, shaking, and I could hardly even say my name, but I said, like, I'm new, I don't know, whatever, just said my name. Felt like a complete, I felt awful. I was so embarrassed. I didn't know what I was doing. And then after the meeting, like, 7 women came up to me, and that was overwhelming, but amazing. And this one woman asked me if I had a sponsor, and I said no, and she gave me her card, and she had written sponsor on the back of it. So I started calling her, and I did that. I just, that I, you know, took things slowly at first, because I didn't know what was going on, but I just started calling her and started going to a meeting every day. And when I remember when I was 11 days sober, I went to a different young people's meeting that became my home group. And after the meeting, everybody was going bowling, and they invited me to come, and I was like, oh, bowling, okay, I guess I'll go bowling. So I went bowling and met all these people, you know, it was like a whole evening of hanging out and like, and you know, we drove there, so it was in the car with people and talking to people. And suddenly I didn't feel so alone, you know? And I ended up meeting people that I'm still in touch with today. And so, yeah, and that became my home group. They asked me if I wanted to stay for the business meeting. Thank you for the business meeting one night. And I was like, the business meeting? That doesn't sound fun at all. So, but I stayed and I got a service commitment. And then I was like a part of the group, you know? And it all just starts with things like as simple as that, you know? Like, if you're feeling alone and if you're not feeling connected, just those two things, like going out for fellowship with people and going to the business meeting and putting my hand up, like, changed my life. Because if I didn't do those things, none of the other things that happened later would have happened. So then I ended up, that sponsor moved away and I got a new sponsor. And I was really afraid that I was going to drink because I had relapsed so many times. And I said, I want to drink because I want to change the way I feel. Like, my feelings were coming back like they had every time, you know? And my sponsor said, if you want to change the way you feel, do the steps. And, you know, it wasn't like going sad to happy, but what the steps did for me was I got to be okay, which was not a feeling I had ever had of being okay. And I had a profound spiritual experience by doing the steps, a profound healing from things that I never thought I would heal from, a sense of being okay and being a member of the human race and like not being apart from. And I really do believe it's true, the saying, you're as sick as your secrets, because when I did my fifth step, I was like, I'm okay, you know? Like, it's, when I keep that stuff to myself, it's easy to think I'm different and unique and really specially messed up. But when I say them out loud, I'm like, oh, I'm just a human being. And that was amazing. And, you know, I've since done the steps a few times and just continue to work this program. I really believe that if I stop, I'll drink. And if I don't stop, I'll stay sober. And that's what's happened so far. And I've had the amazing privilege of working with other women and taking them through the steps and just, you know, seeing like other people's lives blossom is so amazing. And the, you know, it's how it says in the book, a fellowship will grow up about you. Like, that's exactly what has happened for me, and that happened for me in Boston, and that happened for me here. And you know, I just want to talk a couple minutes, in my couple minutes I have left, just about today. And, you know, so many of the things I do are the same. Like, I'm not, you know, I'm not running around and doing crazy fellowshipping in quite the same way that I did. But I'm so grateful I did that, and I've had so much fun in my sobriety. But obviously my life is different, and it's changing. And, like, I've just been living a life, is what I've been doing. Like, if I was drinking, I would not be living a life. And AA has enabled me to do all the things that I've ever wanted to do, you know? I have amazing relationships with my family today. I have a wonderful marriage. And we're, you know, obviously having a child, and I'm like building a family, which is amazing. That would not be happening. I've built a career, something that I love to do, and just like all the life stuff that seems so unattainable to me, that seem like the things that normal people do, and like the people that I hate, and people who wake up in the morning, and like all that kind of stuff, you know? And AA has enabled me to do all of it. So I have this rich, full life, and that is very beautiful and very imperfect. And I guess what I'm trying to do today is to just continue to learn and continue to be open, because there are still so many lessons to learn, and to practice the later steps, you know, to keep doing that in my life, and to keep seeking God, and that changes over time, but just to keep seeking, that's all that's is asked of me. I don't have to find anything, I don't have to figure anything out, I just have to keep seeking, and to continue to try to be of service. So, and just to continue to be involved. And honestly, that's the reason that I'm here right now, because when I was asked to speak, I was sort of like, I don't know, like, I'm due in 2 weeks. I could have this baby at, like, any minute, you know? And I was like, I don't know. I was like, I don't know if I should. And I had the same thought about the boat party. But then I was like, you know what, I'm just going to go, because, like, I need to stay involved and I don't want to drop out of AA. And so it's fine. I haven't had the baby yet. So so it's so wonderful to be here. And thank you very much.